It's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, and even when there's just us few, and it's just, I've always looked forward to these four Sunday night meetings, and I know we just get few from time to time, but I do look forward to them, and I do beg an interest in your prayers this evening, and these things that's been on my mind for a while, and if the Lord will be in the midst, I'll share some things with you this evening, and do continue to pray and appreciate the good humble prayer, and please continue to pray. You know, think of grace and mercy, and you always think of them together, and that's probably a good thing to think of is, you know, grace and mercy. But I thought of a question back a few weeks ago. How much mercy do we need? And so that's what I kind of want to talk to you this evening, and, you know, is how much mercy do we need? And I know there's many definitions to grace and mercy, but the thought that I have on mercy is that mercy is not getting what we deserve.
Right.
And grace is a gift that is given to us by unmerited favor that we didn't do anything to get it, but mercy is getting what we not getting what we do deserve.
Right.
So mercy is withholding punishment.
Yes.
And that's what that I see when we see mercy, and looking at some of the definitions for mercy, we see clemency and forbearance, loving kindness, goodness, favor, and pity. And as we see these things, we see, the opposite of mercy is wrath, judgment, penalty, and punishment. And even when we see the things of the attributes of God, even in those things, God is even full of love when his wrath comes, his judgment, his penalty, and his punishment. And we see even in the scriptures how that mercy, and some of the familiar scriptures of mercy is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin, who walked according to the court, trespasses and in sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God."
Yes.
I love those little conjunctions here, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." It was his mercy, his grace, that he's talking about, his kindness toward us through Christ. Because if it wasn't for his mercy and his grace, we would all be doomed. And that's what he's saying, you know, our nature here, "but God, who is rich in mercy, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." And that verse is quoted more than any among Primitive Baptists, "for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And we don't always walk in them. But we should. And he's ordained the good works that we should be walking in. Paul told the young preacher Titus over in Titus chapter number 3 in verse number 1 that he says over there to us, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And that's the practical side of mercy. And I kind of getting ahead of myself, but I really didn't see it till right then that, you know, we're to be merciful even as he is merciful. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, and I think we can say and are foolish, disobedient, deceived, deserving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and in envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to what? His mercy. It was according to his mercy that he give us his grace. And I don't know which one, you know, I think sometimes grace comes first and then mercy, but it looks like right here it was because of his mercy that he give us his grace. And I don't know if there's any difference in that or what, but it's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saved me and you. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, one of the greatest books of mercy is Exodus, and then in Romans chapter 9 when he's talking about the mercy in Exodus. And what he's saying over here in verse 15 of Romans chapter number 9, where he says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. That's the sovereignty of God, that God can show mercy on who he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, and how that he would even harden Pharaoh's heart. He can do it the way he wants to. And that's what we see. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who resisteth his will? You know, as we go on down in this, he's talking about hath the potter power over one lump of clay to make one pot unto honor and one unto dishonor. And I love to watch those people that makes pots on the spinning wheel, on that clay, and they reach down there in that bucket or their box that they have, and they just grab a wad of that mud, it looks like, and they throw it down, and all of a sudden that wheel starts spinning. Next thing you know, it makes a pretty vase or a dish or something. And sometimes you'll watch them and they do it, and then they just fold it all back up and they start all over again. Why? Because that potter has power over that clay to make whatever pot or dish that they want. And he said that who has that power? of the same lump to make a vessel unto honor and one under dishonor. But we go on in verse 22 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? You know, that word right there, fitted, means that's the way that whole lump was to start with. And it's just that he takes of that same lump. And well, let's go on. I'm getting kind of ahead of myself here. Long-suffering with the vessels of wrath, fitted destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of what? Mercy. Yeah. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. See, all of those in that lump, he just left right where they were. And I know that we believe this, but you know, that's why that we don't believe in that double predestination. Those that was fitted to destruction was all of us. But God in his mercy took out of that same lump, and he had mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's that predominant counsel and foreknowledge of God to his elect family that he took out of all of us that was fitted to destruction, and his mercy chose us out of that, and he made us of vessels unto him. Even us. See, that little two-letter word, us, encapsulates the whole elect family of God. And that's, you know, even as we see, you know, it made me think of the verses over in Romans chapter number 8 over there where he's telling us, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, the same us that's talked about over here in chapter number 9, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. So God is merciful in making us vessels unto honor. It was mercy that he did that. And then we go on and we can see that all these things that the Lord was merciful, you know, even over in I'm just going to hit these verses, and Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. In one of my favorite books in the Bible, is full of mercy, and I'd always keep this one in the back of my mind when I'd go see somebody in the hospital and they needed some encouragement, is the 103rd Psalm. You know, that right there, just if it doesn't lift anybody else up, it lifts me up every time I read that. Where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth all iniquities, who healeth all our diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. How much mercy do we need? He's plenteous in mercy. He will not chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Thank you, Lord. I tell you this right here, you just about have to fall on your knees and thank him. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He says, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And he just goes on. He knows our frame. He knows, because he created us from dust. He knows our frame. You know, we think we know each other pretty well, and I think me and Deborah probably know each other as well as anybody, but the Lord knows our frame. Why? Because he created us. And he created us in his own image and his own likeness. And as we go on, and I'll close with these verses, but you know, this verses is what got me studying on this, is over in Lamentations chapter 3. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. How much mercy do we need? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear his yoke in his youth. His mercy is renewed every day. How much mercy do we need? And then one of our other favorite psalms is Psalms 23, talking about mercy, where he says, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. We don't need mercy to go before us. We need grace to go before us. Yeah. And we need mercy to come behind us. Yes. We got scripture for that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Because Lord knows our frame. He knows that we'll sin today and tomorrow and the next day. And we need his mercy to follow after us. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.